Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer and Comforter, there is no one like you in power or wisdom or grace. You alone are God above all the universe. May we worship no one besides you, O Lord, and may our worship and praise be pleasing in your sight. We ask you to strengthen us and bless us through the word that we're hearing today. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. We begin with our first hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the authority and command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
We pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you withdrew yourself for times of prayer and brought your disciples with you, that they might also rest with you. Be present with us during this time of worship and spiritual rest, gathered together in your name, we may profitably meditate on your word and be strengthened with a good will to serve you and your people. We pray this in your saving name, dear Jesus, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today is from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 6. We'll read verses 2 through 8. In this reading, we hear God himself give us his name. He gives it to Moses and the people, and he speaks of himself as being the Lord. In Hebrew, that word for Lord there is the name Jehovah or Yahweh. You may have heard that name before. That is God's personal name that he gives to us, and it's a name that means I am. He is the God who is, who was, and always will be. We read from Exodus chapter 6. Then God spoke to Moses, telling him, I am the Lord. And you see the capital L-O-R-D there. That's his personal name, Jehovah or Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I was not known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land where they were residing as aliens. I certainly have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians have enslaved, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore tell the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from being their slaves. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out from under the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, from chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Glory be to thee, O Lord. In these words, Jesus asks his disciples who people said that he was. Peter gives a wonderful response. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus then says that on that confession of Peter, he would build his church. May we also confess that faith in Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? They said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But you, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Here ends our gospel reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Nicene Creed. It begins on the bottom of page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Please rise. Grace to you in peace, in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who is the one who invites us and gives us rest in Him, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. That sermon text is printed for you in your bulletin on page 7. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Over the past few Sunday sermons, we've been talking about various types of work. Work that we do for a living. Work that we would consider to be our vocation, our calling, our career. Work that we do in the public ministry if we are a teacher or a pastor. And of course, last weekend in our mission festival, we talked about the work that God has called us to do, commissioned us to do as His disciples, namely mission work. Sharing that gospel message of salvation through Jesus Christ with others. I'm guessing this weekend you will probably do some thinking about work, perhaps you have already, since tomorrow is Labor Day, a day we commemorate the work that people do, a celebration of the work that we are able to do, but also the work that it's done that helps to benefit our nation and the well-being of our country. Obviously, work is a very important part of our lives, both physically and spiritually. But I'm going to remind you today that so is rest. Rest is important. And have you ever thought of just how important rest is, especially from a biblical perspective? How much God speaks about rest in the Scriptures. Think about the fact that God set apart, which is sanctified, made holy, set apart, a whole day of the week. From the very beginning, He dedicated the seventh day to a day of rest at the end of His creative work. And in connection with that day of rest, He gives us a whole commandment of His Ten Commandments to rest. When He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Did you know that's what the word Sabbath means? It means rest. It commemorates, it sanctifies, it makes holy the day that God Himself rested from His work. And now He commands us to take rest. But we're not just talking about taking a day off. We're not just talking about some physical rest. That is important. We know this as human beings. In fact, even Jesus took some time to rest physically during His ministry and His life here on this earth. And He took His disciples sometimes off with Him to have some rest. No, today we're talking about the kind of rest that Jesus is speaking about in our text from the Gospel of Matthew. When He invites us and says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Maybe you've heard those verses before. Maybe you've heard them many times. But I want you just to sit and let those words sink in for a moment. Those beautiful, comforting words, let them sink in. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I feel like there's almost a natural deep breath you take after reading that verse, or maybe before Jesus says rest. You just kind of take a deep breath, and you feel restful when you hear them. You feel comforted. Why is that so? Well, Jesus gives us not just an invitation with these words, He also gives us a promise. He's the only one that can make this invitation and keep that promise. Come to me, he invites us, and I will give you rest, he promises. And as you know, Jesus always keeps his promises. But who's this invitation and promise for? Is it for you? It's a good question, right? Well, it is. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The labor that it's spoken of in that verse is a word that means to struggle, to become weary, to become tired. And to be heavy laden, according to this Greek word, means to carry a heavy burden. Therefore, Jesus' invitation is definitely for you. It's an invitation to all people. All of us are burdened and weary, not just with our earthly burdens. Maybe you think of the difficulties of our work, our daily tasks and chores, the things that we are burdened with in life. But more importantly, we are all burdened with that heavy weight and labor that comes with that curse of sin. The curse that the law has weighed upon all of us, laboring to try and keep God's law and earn God's favor, makes us become hopelessly weary. We can also add to that weariness, that striving, that labor, this empty striving for fulfillment and completeness based on the things of this life. We fall into that so easily. We strive for peace, contentment, happiness, acceptance, and rest. If we do so in anything else in this world other than Jesus, in the end, it's going to lead to disappointment. It's going to make us not fulfilled and peaceful and restful. It's actually to make us wearied and burdened. Jesus invites us to give those burdens over to him. Give him those burdens that cause so much restlessness in this life. Do you find no rest because of the burden of things that you've done? The guilt we have over the sins we've committed? Well, Jesus reminds us he has removed that burden completely from you, taken upon himself on that cross. The Bible tells us that in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Grace, of course, is a word that means undeserved love. It is a love that we didn't earn, a love that Jesus gives to us because he is love and he loves us. Maybe you find that you have no rest because, not just because of the things that you've done, but maybe it's over the things that you have yet to do. Anxiety over those things that are still hanging over your head, or maybe anxiety over, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough to please God? Am I doing enough to keep his commandments? Or whatever it is that we are troubled with when it comes to our performance before God that we are often so burdened with in our hearts and our minds. Well, remember, Jesus has also completely removed that burden for you as well. That's right, one of the reasons he came to this earth, to keep all of God's commandments perfectly for you and for me, because we simply cannot. Therefore, there is nothing left to do by you or me that could possibly make God happier with you or to make him love you more. Jesus did it all, and he did it perfectly. To put it another way, what more could you do to add to what Jesus has already done perfectly on your behalf? And the answer is nothing. The Bible tells us this wonderful phrase, you are complete in him, in Jesus. Another translation for that word complete is the word perfect. In God's eyes, he sees you as complete and perfect in him, not because you have been perfect, but because Jesus is. And his righteousness now is credited to you. That verse goes on to say, and you being dead in your trespasses, your sins, And the uncircumcision of your flesh he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. All of our sins, all of our guilt, all of our shame, that verse reminds us, has been taken away. It's been nailed to the cross. That is the true rest that Jesus is speaking about in our text, the rest that comes from the forgiveness of sins, that gives us spiritual rest. It gives us eternal rest. As Jesus says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." I love that Jesus explains what he means by that rest in this verse. We might think, well, maybe he just means we can take a nap or we can find some physical rest in him. No, he says, you will find rest for your souls. That is the key. We have that rest in Jesus through the forgiveness of sins that gives us spiritual rest in this life. Rest through the eternal salvation won by Jesus gives us heaven's rest, eternal rest in the next. This is what the writer of Hebrews was writing about when he spoke about this topic of rest in chapter 4 of his letter. He said, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." I hope that you are able to take some time over this Labor Day weekend to rest. Maybe you have the day off tomorrow and you'll have some time to relax and give your body and your mind some much needed rest. As we do so, let's also remember the rest that Jesus has given us and make some time, whether it's this weekend or in the week to come, make some time for that more important rest. Jesus is calling you to himself with these words today. His words have that power in themselves to turn our hearts to him and to receive what he has earned for you, to receive that rest he has promised you. His Holy Spirit works powerfully through these words of grace when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls." That forgiveness and that salvation is full, it is free, and it is forever. When we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, receive that invitation of Jesus, we do find true rest, spiritual and eternal rest for our souls in Jesus. Jesus takes away our worst burden completely, sin, death, and even hell itself, and he promises us instead eternal rest with him in heaven. And even those burdens that remain in this life, Jesus is right there to help us with them, helping us bear them, and he turns our service to him to joy, acts of love, and acts of faith in him. They become a blessing. So when you came here this morning, were you weary? Are you weary? Do you feel heavy burdened? Weary from the struggles of this life, the pressures, the strains, the endless running after things that don't really satisfy us, even though we think they will? Running after those things that we think are going to fulfill but actually make us empty and rob us of rest? Are you burdened? Did you come here this morning burdened by guilt over past mistakes and sins, thinking of still about something that you have done or said that you wish you hadn't? Did you come loaded down with hurts and pains from a lifetime of living in this world that can be no picnic? Are you burdened with a life of striving for the wrong things? Come to me, Jesus invites you. Place all those burdens. Lay your weary soul down at the foot of his cross. and there find his forgiveness. And look beyond that cross to the empty tomb. Remember, Jesus did not stay there. Look to the empty tomb where the living, risen Savior has promised to give you life, eternal life, and to give you strength and power for this journey through this life, and has guaranteed you the bliss of eternal rest in heaven in the life to come. Come to me, Jesus invites us, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. Are there any special prayer requests for today? Yes, Terry. For Patty's new job, you said? It's a wonderful prayer to pray as we go through Labor Day weekend. Any other prayer requests? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the true rest that you give us, spiritual and eternal rest in you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to receive that rest with joy and to find that rest in you always. Dear Jesus, your word assures us that you do want to take us to heaven to be with you in perfect life, in the glorious life that's been yours from eternity. To do so, you died for us and rose again. We take you at your word, trusting you as our Lord and Savior, and longing for that wonderful rest that awaits us in heaven. You know, dear Savior, that life here is often wearisome and discouraging because of our daily struggles against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We long for that day when that conflict will be over, when the enemies of righteousness will no longer tempt us, and we will always do what is good in your sight. As we labor here on this earth, Lord, we ask you to bless us. Heavenly Father, as our country pauses to contemplate the freedom to work and the employment opportunities that are ours, may we never lose sight of the fact that it's only because of your grace and favor that we are able to work. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of employment and work that we've had in the past and in the present. We thank you especially today for Terry's daughter Patty and her new job. Please bless her and her family through that work that you've given her to do. May all that we do at work give glory to you and your precious name. On earth, dear Lord, our lives must be filled with work. At times it is troublesome. At times it causes us much sweat and tears. We do have doubts and troubles and fears and apprehensions. We long to be in heaven with you, where you've promised freedom from all that now burdens us, all that makes life hard and all that brings us grief. Dear Savior, you are the reason that we can hope and plan for heaven. We have no righteousness of our own to make us worthy of everlasting life, but we know that through you, God forgives our sins and declares us to be righteous. Keep us from hardening our hearts against you, or from turning away from you in unbelief. Help us to resist all temptations, to turn away from the attractions and idols of this world. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to always take you at your word and to trust in all your promises. While we live and work in this world, constantly remind us that our treasure is not here, but in heaven with you. Keep us always watchful and waiting for the hour of your return, when you will come to take us to be with you. Until then, help us in our daily toils and struggles. Give us patience. Give us strength to bear up under all things that test our faith. In your heavenly wisdom, lighten our load of suffering and sorrow. Forgive all our sins and inspire our hearts and minds with the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Live in us, dear Jesus, and grant that we who by faith have been crucified with you may live now by faith, always doing the works of righteousness that bring glory to your name. And finally, in the end, take us to heaven to give us blessed rest there. In your name we pray all these things. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our service with our next hymn, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. Rise. We continue on the middle of page 9 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places Give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We join now in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. You may be seated. At this time, we ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to participate in taking the Lord's Supper with us today. We begin with those who prefer to take it at their pew, and then we'll continue with those who would like to come and take it at the altar. For those taking it from the pew, please first take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I now invite those at the direction of our usher to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the altar. take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Please rise. We'll continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 12. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. Our closing hymn for today is, O Jesus, Blessed Lord, to Thee. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us this morning. I invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway, and we invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. Today, I'll be heading up to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. with Bible class to follow at 2. This week, tomorrow is, of course, Labor Day. I wish you all blessed and safe and happy Labor Day. There will be no school at our school here at St. Stephen Lutheran School tomorrow. It resumes again on Tuesday, and you may have noticed in the bulletin, we have gotten the yellow jacket situation taken care of at the back entrance gate to the school so the school families can enter through the normal gate for school starting on Tuesday this week. This past Wednesday, I started confirmation classes with one of our former school students, Natalie Lang. We'll be doing classes with her every Wednesday at 4 p.m. here at church. Next Sunday, our usual schedule, Bible class at 9 a.m. and worship service here at 10 a.m. Please come and worship our Savior with us again next week. Please check your mailboxes. There is a financial summary for both our church and our church body. There's also a calendar for September. The re-edited and updated and better version is on the table in the entryway. I don't know what was happening with me in the last week of September, but I completely messed it up when I printed it off and thought, I'm ahead of the game. I'm getting this out on the 29th. Look at me, and completely butchered the last week of September. So if you do not get a edited copy, please pick one up on the table or check your email this week. That was a edited version that had the dates correct and the items correct on it. I apologize for the messed up first calendar I sent out last week. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.